Barely out of the police station, he had the van stopped near a suspicious car.
You girl tried to pierce a hole here. Why?
But then the captain stops a car.
This woman is about to become embroiled in the case.
She'll be watching the search like a bailiff. Under the front seat. The police have just found this bag. The captain had flair. It contains amphetamines. The bag belongs to this woman. For her, sanctions are immediate.
Let everyone know. Your employers, your family, you're going to be on file now. Your license is immediately revoked because drug addicts aren't allowed to drive.
Cascading consequences. Russia is no joke when it comes to drugs. These are my first images of St. Petersburg. Golden light and cathedrals along the water's edge. The Venice of the North is a feast for the eyes. I stroll through a rich, colorful landscape. A huge city on the Baltic Sea. It was the dream of a czar, Peter the Great. He had made it his capital as a gateway to Europe. But in the meantime, it also became Lenin's city, Leningrad. All that's left of communism are the trinkets that sell in markets. The new icons are capitalist and enthroned at every crossroads. I had no idea the country was so rich. There are also those left behind, babushkas with their little pension. And all the forgotten soldiers from Afghanistan and Chechnya. St. Petersburg also has a bad reputation. I still have snippets of the news in my head. When the wall came down, it was known as the capital of crime, 5,000 deaths in 10 years in mafia score settling. I too have made the headlines for crimes I didn't commit. That was 10 years ago. Today, I still have a passion for police and justice matters. During my stay, I'll be diving into crime. I'll be out on patrol with the night police. I'll see the ravages of alcohol and the fauna of police stations. I'll be following the trail of right-wing violence with a shock interview with a neo-Nazi leader. The trail of car trafficking too, with the confession of a mafioso with five telephones. I'll witness ordinary violence, from sidewalk brawls to car crashes. I'll also be experiencing gratuitous violence turned into spectacle, with free fight, halfway between boxing and gladiatorial combat. The young guard of Russian journalists, Yuri, Dasha and Natasha are here to open doors for me. Specialists in miscellaneous events, they will take me into the night world. Techno music, champagne and cocaine, with the occasional special forces raid. This journey behind the scenes of society will give me the keys to understanding it, as a passport to crime. St. Petersburg never sleeps. 4 million inhabitants. As in all the world's megacities, night is more violent than day. Police station number 7, Central Sector. It's 8 p.m. This is the first time foreign television has been allowed to follow the St. Petersburg police. My shoot starts at the armory.
Number 10, please.
Here is Captain Banov, 40 years old.
We're given bullets, enough to fill two magazines.
Everything is in order. Apparently, weapons are strictly controlled. These are Makarovs, the Kalash's little brothers. Timeless, safe and easy to handle. The patrolmen on duty stand at attention.
Step forward, walk, turn. Present your card.
Checking police plates. In Russia, the police sometimes take on a military air.
You are hereby ordered to perform your duties with the utmost respect for the public. Ready? Positions. Right. Walk.
Let's face it, they don't play around with ethics and enforce order without brutality. It's a busy Saturday night for the police, and the patrol is not going to be idle.
Out of the way. Police.
First call. A fight outside a bar.
Where did he say? Who? I repeat, who? Who shot? Who? Who?
I didn't see anyone. I don't know anything.
Sir, who did this to you? Let me see. Did somebody break your nose or something? Teeth?
Four missing teeth and a broken nose. There may also be a head injury.
Apply cotton. He had four teeth knocked out on Domskaya Street, number 9. Please send an ambulance ASAP. He's bleeding badly. Thank you. There? Where exactly? Show me. There? It happened there, right there? There, at that place, right?
A few yards away, the bar's bouncers watch the scene with a strange air. Do they have anything to do with it? The paramedics take the victim aboard, but the captain isn't finished yet.
I'm coming. Guys, just a second, please, before you close the door. I'm going to ask the kid some questions. Boy, tell me, are you able to concentrate now? Can you try to talk to me now? Go on, tell me who did this to you. In the shelter of the ambulance, the young man finally pointed out his assailants. According to him, he got punched and kicked down. There were three of them.
The three bouncers from the bar, but they've disappeared. Captain Banov goes inside to look for them. In vain, they fled. An APB has been issued. The victim is taken to hospital. We have a new call. It's only a few blocks away. Here, night owls have no problem making ends meet. The patrol pushes open the door of a rather trendy place.
Are you from security?
Yes, I'm from security. It's just that there's a rather agitated table over there. They even punched someone.
These two clients refuse to pay the bill. They are charged for a bottle of vodka which they claim they never ordered. The problem is, they drank it. They are taken out Manu military to the drunk tank.
Should we take him to the station in the state?
He's acting, you see.
The first has gone straight, the other is going to resist. It wasn't easy, but take a good look. The van door was left open. The man managed to jump out of the van. But in the game of cops and robbers, it's the bottle of vodka that makes the difference. Advantage to the gendarmes, who didn't drink.
I caught him on the street over there. Excuse me, I need to catch my breath.
Alcohol, perhaps the worst of scourges in Russia. And for the patrol, one operation follows another. Homeless quarreling in the subway corridors. When the police arrived, they had no strength left to fight. For men, life expectancy has fallen to 58 years. The patrol picks up the drunk men. Cell van, then police custody. Surprise. At the police station, the atmosphere is fairly calm, sober, even. Yet these young people are there because of alcohol.
We were going dancing. We were waiting quietly for friends and had alcohol with us in this bag.
The cops picked us up just to boost the statistics.
Why this cact? Because the law has changed. It's forbidden to drink a single drop of alcohol in the street. Ironic, for Russia, but an injustice. The poorest people have nowhere else to drink. Meanwhile, the gilded youth can safely get drunk inside. €7 for a glass. 7 a.m. The night patrol went home to bed. Captain Banov's men made a pretty good impression on me. A few hours sleep later, I have an appointment at the other end of town. A lesson in resourcefulness with Marina, my interpreter. Maybe we need to find a cab?
There's no need to find a cab. Just wave your hand, and any car will stop and take you where you want to go.
Can anyone take you?
Yes, anyone.
D'accord.
You say where you want to go, you pay, and that's it.
People are actually quite friendly, I think, helping each other out, like this.
Well, yes, but it can still be dangerous.
Have you ever had any problems with...
You can be assaulted. It happens. To girls, yes, and thefts too.
Do you often take passengers like this?
No, only if I see pretty girls like you.
Improvised cabs make ends meet and put you in a good mood.
It's even better when they're French.
Thank you very much. I have an appointment at the Fontanka office. For news, it's the best place in St. Petersburg. Fontanka has its eye on everything. Fontanka is not a traditional newspaper, but a website.
Hello.
Meet Yevgeny, the chief, a former cop. Yevgeny manages 20 journalists and has chosen an emblem that sets the tone.
The pirates attack to steal gold, and we steal information. Apart from that, we're a lot alike. These few square meters are the very heart of our site. This is where information is prepared. There are few employees and even fewer square meters. This is where information is prepared.
Editorial conference. A tense atmosphere. An anonymous letter received this very morning denounced a senseless murder. A murder allegedly committed by police officers.
Two drunk FSB agents attacked Mr. Kachaturian, who was on his way home. They beat him severely, and when he was down, they shot him several times in the head. With with their service pistol, a NASA.
Incredibly, the murderers were elite officers. Members of the former KGB, renamed FSB.
I'm going to check the neighborhood first to see if it really happened, and then we'll go from there to find out if they're FSB or not.
Tatiana is in charge of the file. Beneath her youthful exterior, she's a seasoned journalist. She calls her police sources. The story is plausible. Russian police are notorious for blunders. Here's an example of how a pileup can end. Women are not treated any better. These amateur images prove the beating. The police will plead contempt. She has her answer. On condition of anonymity, her contacts briefed her on the case.
My sources confirmed that the shooters were FSB. They were drunk and started annoying the victim. The victim answered and they beat him up. He's dead, but there's a witness.
So we publish it.
Okay. I'll tell Julia to contact the military tribunal.
I decided to go to the scene of the crime. At the crossroads is a photo of the victim. A small altar was improvised on the spot where he was shot.
I thought it was a traffic accident, and I find out it was something else. I'm shocked. These people who are supposed to protect us are killing innocent people.
He was our neighbor, and we saw him every day in the yard, fixing cars. He was a mechanic and a good family man. When I learned of his death, I was shocked. As the murderers are from the FSB, witnesses risk receiving threatening phone calls. They will be under pressure, or even to be waited for downstairs.
This neighbor is right to be suspicious. We learn that the two presumed murderers live in the neighborhood and have just been released. I knock on the door of the widow, Natasha Kachaturian. She hides away in her home, living with the curtains closed even in broad daylight. Natasha and her husband, of Armenian origin, met and married in St. Petersburg 12 years ago.
I have two children. I don't know. I can't even imagine how I'm going to live without him. I don't know. He was the most important person in my life, the closest and dearest to me. He was my partner, my friend, my everything. At the top, it's the eldest. At the bottom, it's the youngest. I think that such people do not belong to the FSB. How are we supposed to trust them now? How? Police forces like that? I don't know. In any case, I'll do everything in my power. I won't let this go.
One woman alone starts a long battle against justice. Tomorrow morning, a rally is planned in memory of her husband. Appointment made. ...10 a.m. Natasha leads the little group. Family, a few friends. For this last gesture, they are only a handful. most of them Armenians. Their silence surprises me. I can only imagine the angry demonstrations that would have taken place in France. Is this battered community resigned, or just sad? No neighbor wanted, or dared to join the ceremony. But the whole neighborhood knows. A man wants to talk to me.
Let's go this way.
He's a friend of the victim, the last one to see him alive.
We were at home, chatting over tea, and he left after 2 a.m. Yes, I heard the shots, of course, but I never imagined it was him. Today's Russia is far from safe.
Will Russian justice be able to identify and punish the culprits? If the police attack citizens, the feeling of insecurity knows no bounds. Yet the people of St. Petersburg are in dire need of protection. There are 10 times more homicides here than in France. Robberies, prostitution, drugs, shocking news items for a news program that's far from faint-hearted. That of TSB. 10 minutes a day on ordinary insecurity in St. Petersburg. And here's the queen of thrills, Elena Vyshnevskaya. She hosts the news from this small studio. I have to squeeze through the cables. How long have you been presenting the show?
It's been 10 years. Yes, 10.
10 years!
Despite its limited resources, this news magazine is beating audience records. This is Dacha, one of the 6 journalists on the team. What are you doing there, Dasha?
Right now, I'm handling a subject we shot last weekend on Saturday. We followed a drugs raid in a nightclub.
Клуб с наркоконтролем. Там был спецназ, там были оперативники.
We work very regularly with the police. There were special forces checking the club's customers for drugs.
Наркотиков у лиц, которые там находились.
It's a classic of the trade. The easiest way to get the news flowing and provide 10 minutes of crime every day is to work with the police. -3 degrees. Dacha gave me an appointment for the next day at police station 64. Report of the day. The arrest of 2 drug dealers. What are you going to do now?
We'll be interviewing everyone about the case of these 2 young men who were arrested.
When we searched the 2 individuals, we found this brown plate on one of them, resembling the narcotic substance called hashish.
They will be charged for that? One of them claims that these substances do not belong to him.
Один из задержанных поясняет, что данное вещество ему не принадлежит.
In this plastic bag lies the kilo of hashish seized by the police.
We did nothing. The investigation will show it. When we were arrested, we had nothing on us.
Innocent or not, they'll be on the news tonight. It's a win-win situation for TV and the police. Is it also part of your daily routine to work with journalists?
Yes, we also call for witnesses. We show the defendants on television and then take testimony from those who recognize them. This allows us to flesh out the case file.
Filming continues. The cameraman feels right at home.
A second. Okay, guys, you're going to step back a little bit. You're going to make your entrance again, then to close the gate, and to take a few steps straight ahead.
The police play along. They're all fans of the show. And collaboration works both ways.
We're going to agree on two or three questions.
In any case, whether it's you or us, there's not much difference.
So my first question is, does he know what he's accused of? Or rather, why was he arrested? And then, what is he suspected of?
That's what we call complicity. Television is even allowed to do what would be unthinkable in France. Ask questions to the suspect. It's somewhere between an interview and an interrogation.
You have the right not to answer any questions. I get it.
You say someone asked you to do this? Did you know these people? The ones who asked you for this service?
I knew one of the people, so I played along. I did what he asked.
You mean it's someone close to you?
No, just an acquaintance. I've known him for 6 months, seven at the most. I don't know.
With this kind of staging, it's hard to see how television could ever criticize the police. Dacha doesn't hide.
It doesn't bother us at all. I think it's important to show the criminals. And I think that to a certain extent, the media helped to solve a lot of crimes.
In the evening, I watch the sequence at the hotel. The face of the suspected drug dealer is not blurred. He hasn't been judged, but for Russian court, is like he's already guilty. In the days of the Soviet Union, television used to broadcast the trials of the enemies of communism. Today, there may be something left of it. 70 years of dictatorship. For the casual visitor, it's just folklore. But in Minds and Laws, the USSR is not dead. Here's an example of an institution that has survived, the neighborhood police force. Lieutenant Alexander Vinokurov, age 27. He's in charge of part of the city center, 500 apartments and residents he knows on a first-name basis.
It's the police. Thank you.
Ivan Ivanovich, 87 years.
Come in, come in.
Are you taking it out or am I? Is it here?
Yes, it is. Here, at the bottom.
Alexander is interested in Ivan's old shotgun.
What a beautiful shotgun.
Why do you carry out checks like this on people who own weapons?
Because many crimes are committed with unregistered weapons. To facilitate investigations, we carry out a census and checks. It provides us with data that can prove useful. Maybe the shot was fired from this gun.
Yes, but maybe not with that shotgun. In the realm of the Kalashnikov, weapons of war can be dealt under the table for less than $100. Doesn't it bother you that the police come and check you out like this?
It's all in our interest. There are enough weapons circulating in our country as there are in yours. That's fine. Goodbye, Ben. Goodbye.
For Alexander, it's always the same friendly and cooperative welcome. This old lady is one of his best informants. She grew up during the Soviet era. At the time, whistleblowing was a civic duty. The communists were hunting the bourgeoisie. The most beautiful apartments were confiscated. The poorest people were housed here, a family in every room. Alexander takes me to one of these communal apartments.
Hello, this is the neighborhood police.
Inside, a jumble of bric-a-brac and the smell of cooking. Several families are crammed in here, and this tenant is very angry.
I'm cleaning the toilets again. I came home from work to find them disgusting. It's their fault. These guys there.
I just woke up. But please come in.
Who else is home?
Well, my wife.
And you complain about not having any money?
Well, yes, I've looked hard, but I can't find any work.
You don't say. We've already discussed it, though.
Well, yes, we've already discussed it.
His wife, under the covers, didn't even notice we were there.
Did you hear the dog? They're home for sure.
What are they doing? Getting drunk?
Or they're just sleeping it off, the bastards. Hey, Stella.
Shut the fuck up!
Hold the look on your face.
Easy now.
It's not forbidden to get drunk at home. Alexander can't do anything.
This is the kitchen. Each occupant has his or her own space, a spot for preparing food, and storage cupboards. Each room has its own corner.
To each his own. And for everyone, this bathtub. The kitchen doubles as a shower room. This room is the most crowded. Sometimes it leads to murderous urges. Alexander tells me that this man tried to stab his two neighbors. He was drunk and blamed them for not tidying up the kitchen. Tonight, the knives will remain put away. Thanks, perhaps, to Alexander's hard work.
I'm also convinced that this work is helping to reduce the number of offenses. That's why the work of a neighborhood police officer is one of the most essential and oldest. This job is over 80 years old. Where we're going now is very narrow and very low ceiling, and it smells terrible. So watch your feet, watch your head, like that. As you can see, there's no lock. Someone has ripped it off, so there may be people inside, and I do mean maybe. Careful, it's excrement. Sir, good evening. I'm the local policeman. What are you doing here?
I sleep here.
Do you have any papers?
I don't.
Are you homeless or something?
I am.
When was the last time you went to a police station?
2 weeks ago.
Here, homeless people are registered, and it's impossible to slip through the police net, another legacy of the Soviet era. How often do you find people like this in the old buildings?
It does happen often. And unfortunately, the work I've just done will soon have to be redone. They'll vacate the premises for a day or two, and then, no matter how hard you lock it, they will rip it off again.
Neighborhood police also know how to be tough. Outside, temperatures are below zero.
Thank you.
Goodbye, Alexander. In Russia, it's as if the revolution never happened. The rich are very rich. And the poor are very lonely. Between opulence and misery, it seems that the state doesn't do much. I take a cab back to the hotel with Vladimir, a top-notch driver. Cab karaoke is a brand new concept, and Vladimir invented it. Are there many cabs like you in St. Petersburg?
No, my cab is unique. It's not up to standard.
St. Christopher, patron saint of motorists, may Vladimir never have an accident while watching his screen. An accident, I'm going to see one the next morning. The TSB television crew is already on the scene. He was very lucky. This is the driver of the crashed car. He's still in shock. How are you?
Leave me alone at last.
Is it serious?
It was a huge, violent crash, yes. The driver is not at present in a position to tell us what happened, but at first sight it would appear that he hit the back of the truck. He may already have been unconscious at the moment of impact.
The damage is impressive, but for TSB, it's business as usual.
I've seen much worse. For example, when there's nothing left of a car. This is still a lesser evil.
The proof is in the police cameras. More and more traffic with snow, speed, and alcohol. And no quarter is given to pedestrians. In Russia, it's impossible to move a car, even a scratched one, before the police arrive. It's a matter of insurance. So every time there's an accident, there's a traffic jam. Vitaly, the cameraman, has a little idea to help the traffic flow.
Women at the wheel are a dangerous lot, and the majority of road accidents, it's a woman who's involved.
The Russian man is a bit of a macho. On the road, the police keep a watchful eye. There are the hit-and-run drivers, and then there are all those who have something to be ashamed of. How to spot them in the stream of cars? With this electronic eye, it recognizes license plates in real time and compares them with the banditry or road violence files. Take a good look. The captain is bragging about this technology.
Driver involved in casualty accident.
The Lada was off to a flying start.
This car is wanted.
At the end of the chase, no mobster on the loose. But a simple driver, astonished to be stopped.
Did you know your vehicle was wanted? So I've just surprised you. The vehicle in question is wanted for a hit and run. The driver is not aware of this. Well, of course, we'll take her statement and make an official report.
Did the computer make a mistake? Or is it the right car but not the right driver? This may promise a stormy explanation back home. I rejoin Captain Banov for a second night's patrol. Barely out of the police station, he had the van stopped near a suspicious car.
You hear? She wanted to make a hole. Look, she'd already started.
A hole in a bottle. For the patrol, it's like being caught in flagrante delicto.
Please stay here. Mm-hmm. Why were you doing that?
Just for fun.
What now?
Yes, just for fun.
Look, this girl tried to pierce a hole here. Why? Then the smoke fills the bottle. You unscrew the cork and inhale the whole thing. By the time we stopped and got out of the van, we were spotted by these youngsters who took the opportunity to throw away what they had. Plastic bags, aluminum pellets, stuff like that.
Their bodies search in the van. But then the captain stops a car.
Hello, this is Captain Banner from the main section. If you'll excuse me, it'll only take a few minutes. Could you please stop? This woman is about to become embroiled in the case.
I've got to get to the airport. Is it possible to do this quickly?
In fact, the captain has just recruited an auxiliary. She'll be watching the search like a bailiff.
Please exit the vehicle now. Open the driver's door. Witnesses, approach. Perhaps the presence of the two witnesses will put you in the right frame of mind. You don't have anything on you? Are you sure?
Under the front seat, the police have just found this bag. They open it under the witness's gaze. The captain had flair. It contains amphetamines. The bag belongs to this woman. For her, sanctions are immediate.
We'll let everyone know. Your employers, your family, you're going to be on file now. Your license is immediately revoked because drug addicts aren't allowed to drive.
I'm not a drug addict.
Yes, yes, everyone says that, you know.
Cascading consequences. Russia is no joke when it comes to drugs. Off to the police station for questioning. The witness motorist must also follow. Her evening is ruined. It's 2 a.m. in the cells, the detainees are already asleep. The alleged drug addict admits the facts, but has an explanation. It's because she's a mother that all this happened.
I took some to make up my own mind, and if my kids ever try it or someone suggests it to them, I'll know how it feels. It's just curiosity, that's all.
The witnessed motorist takes it in her stride. It's nearly 4 a.m.
For the law to be respected, everyone has to do their bit. In any case, that's the rule. People know they can call on the police. So when the police call on them, it's normal for the citizen to be here too. Otherwise, there's no order.
A fine example of good citizenship. But what a confession, too. As if, without a witness, the police were bound to manipulate the procedure. The mother signs her statement. She'll spend the rest of the night in her cell. At this late hour, there's a place that pulsates as if in broad daylight. The Arena. St. Petersburg's most glamorous nightclub. Are there any banned substances here? Cocaine, amphetamine, or heroin? In any case, drugs have become the leading cause of death among young Russians. The authorities have declared war on it. And they're making it known. This morning, they're inaugurating the new Special Forces headquarters. They're the elite of the police force. Speech by the city's new super cop, General Sukhodolsky. Among its priorities is the fight against drug trafficking. The next day, I'm off to the field with the Special Forces. The operation leader takes me with him. It's forbidden to show his face. The target, a nightclub on the outskirts of St. Petersburg.
We approach the nightclub. We're now 5 minutes away.
A plainclothes policeman is already inside, and the leader is waiting for the green light to intervene. We get a text message 1 hour later.
It seems that the dealer isn't here, and that we have no reason to wait any longer.
Did the dealer spot a trap? The men in black are out in force. Weird atmosphere. The last party goers are not very impressed. I have my own conscience. The leader of the operation leaves no stone unturned. And in the billiard room.
As you can see, we didn't stop the festivities for nothing. These are amphetamines.
You just keep on looking around, okay?
They'll find more bags. Behind the DJ turntable. Hashish, amphetamine, and even, hidden behind this panel, a syringe. That's enough to close the discotheque.
Drugs are never sold on the streets. It's not like in American movies, where dealers roam the sidewalks. Here, deals are usually done in apartments or clubs.
The police patrols may have something to do with it. On the dance floor, everyone came to their senses. It's a hangover. Pupil dilation test.
Hello, miss. Can you look me in the eye, please? Thanks, that's it. You can go home. The exit's this way.
This one is sober too. His eyes react normally to light.
Well, let's get everything to the station and see what we can find. Very well. And we'll interview the two DJs. They're really stoned. In the end, we have a few people who have taken drugs. We will continue to question them to find out who supplied them, when and how, and our main task is to follow the trail back to the suppliers.
In the meantime, the police explored the premises and made a discovery. Upstairs are a jacuzzi, a massage table, and bedrooms. The discotheque is a brothel. The prostitutes are gone. Yet the place looks like a simple commercial building. Impossible to guess the mafia's role into it. The mafia is also about stolen cars, about 30 a day in St. Petersburg. In Russia, low wages are around 200 euros a month. A luxury car is fortune on four wheels. I'm trying to find out more about this traffic. This morning, I received a text message. A trafficker agrees to talk. I've been waiting for over an hour. Here he is. Behind the wheel of the most expensive 4x4. So, what's your role in car theft?
Actually, when a car is stolen, the thieves sell it to me so that I can get it out. So I go back to some people to get them to change the registration number and make new papers.
And is it a good business?
Yes, it's a very good business, very profitable. I think it comes fourth or fifth after arms trafficking and drugs. Without contacts, without protections, you don't survive in this business. One disappears. If you don't do what they do, you leave in the first car.
3, 4, 5, 5 phones. Impressive. What is it?
This is one of my different phones. I'll call you back, okay? You absolutely must have several numbers that correspond to different people. That way, you won't be spotted.
And are the cars stolen only in Russia, or do you also have cars stolen abroad?
No, I don't just do that in Russia. Because cars that are stolen abroad, it's much less risky.
And your Porsche Cayenne, is that a stolen car too?
No, of course not. People in my profession can't afford to drive stolen cars. It would be the perfect excuse for the police to arrest me.
Legal or not, his car arouses the guard's suspicions. Our informant senses the danger and cuts the conversation short. The Russian mafia has exported its know-how. It controls the trafficking of stolen cars throughout Europe. And this is the specialty of Yuri, a young investigative journalist. His hobby horse, in fact.
My aim is to prove that these things do not go unnoticed, both by the reader and by those who traffic.
Yuri takes us to the impound lot, where stolen cars await their owners. Yuri has an appointment with one of his contacts, a man investigating on behalf of the insurance company.
This number is the car's identity card. It's as fake as this plate. The car has been stolen and the identity made up in St. Petersburg. Thanks to the information on the electronic unit, I finally found the original number and its owner.
Yuri takes photos to illustrate his future article. Is it dangerous?
Of course I'm scared,
But who else but me is going to do it?
Unsurprisingly, there are large German sedans and luxury 4x4s. More surprisingly, backhoe loaders too. In Russia, everything that rolls gets stolen. All you need is the right tools.
This is a thief's favorite tool. I found it in the car. With this, you open all locks of the same brand. Look, here it says Mazda. It's called a lockpick. I'll show you. You insert it, rotate, and voila.
No need to break the window with this kind of master key. But thieves have an even more effective tool, with which nothing can resist.
Someone who wants to steal a car always has in his pocket, depending on the car, a bundle of cash ranging from $1,000 to $10,000. If the police catch him red-handed, he takes the money and drives off, sometimes even driving the car he's just stolen.
What corruption! I find it hard to believe that you're able to buy those who've just arrested you. Yuri will convince me, though, and I'm off to the traffic police.
That's the traffic police branch. And now it's the patrol garage. Becoming a traffic officer is every cop's dream. Some people are even willing to pay for it. You have almost unlimited powers. You can always make a perfectly sober guy look drunk. It's very profitable.
The proof is in this parking lot. Here are the police officers' personal cars. They couldn't afford them on their salaries.
Buying such a car legally is virtually mission impossible for a policeman. They earn between 500 and 600 euros. A car like this costs at least 28,000 euros. It's only with corruption and bribes that a cop can afford such a luxury. Look at this one. The plate is even engraved. MWD, Ministry of the Interior.
It's an imprudence. With this plate, the owner betrayed his membership of the police force. How can he justify his purchase? Yuri tries to meet him. No use. In St. Petersburg, the police is a prolific business. It's around every corner. As all Russians know, it's best to avoid it. Take drink driving, for example. The legal rate is not 0.5 as in France, but 0. 0 in theory. In practice, you can always negotiate. In these amateur images, the motorist offers a bribe. It's a discreet transaction in the police car. The policeman does not take the banknotes in hand, but accepts them. For 100 euros, he gives the license back. Corruption money is shared with the chiefs. Here, a policeman gives half to his superior. 2 years ago, a police officer broke the law of silence, Major Alexis Demowski. A few weeks later, he was disbarred from the police force. Since my arrival in St. Petersburg, I have not yet been arrested. My cab driver has just crossed a white line.
Stay seated. I'll go and see him.
We discreetly snap a few photos. 5 minutes of negotiation. And here he is again. How much did he give?
In principle, you give what you can. But if you don't give enough, they won't let you go. For 500 rubles, they won't even talk to you.
He would later confess to having given 1,000 rubles, or 25 euros. It's not easy to admit to corruption, especially for the corrupt. But I'm going to collect an exceptional testimony. An officer who agrees to denounce what he calls the system.
Police generals give cars to their kids that are worth thousands. But what about us? The rest of us pay for the service vehicles ourselves. The petrol for the patrol cars is paid out of our own pockets. The pens and paper for the reports are out of our own pockets, too. The uniforms are at our own expense. 99% of the workforce, in one way or another, is corrupt. The system itself forces them to be.
For the system to change, police officers will have to say no. How many are there like this man, suffering in silence? It's been 9 days since Svialdi, the Armenian, was shot dead by the police. Today, his loved ones are at the cemetery. This is an Orthodox tradition. On the ninth day, the soul of the deceased leaves the body and ascends to heaven. Natasha, the widow, hugs her son. It is very cold around the departed. To keep each other warm, vodka is passed around. We eat on the go. There's grief and anger too.
The FSB should be the first to denounce this affair, the first to denounce this black sheep.
An honest family is left to fend for itself, forced to defend itself on its own. That's what's so terrible about all this. It's so revolting, I don't even have a word for it.
We do have laws and structures to protect us, but we have to push them to do so. We're the ones who have to get the ball rolling, alert the media, use the internet. The law doesn't make a move, anything. We have to make it move.
This woman is suffering, and she has to defend herself and her children all by herself. That's how things are, here.
I'll be back to see Natasha before I leave. A sad picture. This broken widow relies more on the church than the state. Faced with arbitrariness and corruption, Russia's victims are on their own. Outside, society is brutal. Reassuring words and sacred music are heard in the shadows of churches. Prayer, like a bubble out of time, like a moment's respite. Outside, a few people stand up against the state, against the abuse of power. Their code name, Voina, means war. Attacking symbols, nothing could be more effective for these rebels. Overturn a patrol car. Kissing women in uniform. Or taunting the police. Giant graffiti on the city's largest lift bridge in just 24 seconds. And here's a 65-meter-high phallus, erected right under the FSB's windows. A schoolboy prank that doesn't have the authorities laughing. Here are Voina's two leaders. Natalia, nicknamed the goat, and Oleg, nicknamed the thief. They're a couple of artists. They never part with their newborn. Arrested, released, pursued again, Oleg and Natalia went underground. No telephone, no address. But eventually I got an email. Appointment made. 7 p.m., Navy Museum. I'm with Marina, my interpreter. No one's here. And then Natalia arrives, on her bike. She verifies our identity. Her partner Oleg had been watching us for some time, with his child on his back. We're off to the banks of the Neva.
I suggest you go down a few steps so as not to attract attention.
There are no walkers. It's minus 5 degrees. I have images of their exploits on my computer. So this action you took was a protest. Why?
What we're trying to do with these operations is to challenge the corruption that's suffocating society, just as a prison would suffocate it. Corruption prevents people from living. That's why it needs to be challenged, and rather strongly and expressively. That's what we artists do. We call on people to change things and fight corruption.
What we'd like most of all is for people to stop being afraid. We try to demonstrate that there is nothing wrong with stating one's convictions.
Today, your life is complicated and difficult. Do you regret your actions in relation to this?
No, and we're ready to answer for every single one of our actions. And if we had to do it all over again, we'd do it again without hesitation.
We're the subject of a nationwide federal police search, and I'm also the subject of an international search warrant. You know, currently we're only warming up. Everything you filmed is just a warm-up, like an adolescent's pranks. But soon we'll grow up, and then we'll get down to business.
Is this a threat? Do these far-left agitators want to move on to more violent actions? For the moment, the danger comes from the other side. November 4th. Today, the far right wanted to march through the center of St. Petersburg. The authorities have said no. The meeting will be held in the suburbs and will be heavily guarded.
Glory to Russia!
Slava Russia!
Glory to Russia!
Slava Russia!
Slava Russia!
Slava Russia!
Slava Russia!
In the crowd, skinheads and hooded faces. But also the youngest and the oldest. Nostalgic for Soviet grandeur. This November 4th, the far right is commemorating a very old battle. 400 years ago, the Russians drove out the Polish invaders. Today, it's another invasion that's causing fear.
Why do they want to come here? They want to take our jobs. They're coming to kill us. And on top of that, they're stealing money from government aid programs. Do you understand that?
They, meaning the foreigners, of course. But apparently there are several categories.
I think the real problem is the power we give to the Jews, who take advantage of this to bring hordes of black asses from Asia and the Caucasus to our land. No Jews means no black asses. Without Jews, we'll give them such a warm welcome that their great-grandchildren will be shitting their pants, just imagining what their grandfathers will have gone through.
Raw hatred. You might have guessed it with those flags. It's not far from a swastika. This young demonstrator is armed. shoots skywards, like a warning. Sometimes, there are no warnings. Moscow, December 2010. 5,000 skinheads took to the streets to avenge one of their own. They went on a headhunt with facial discrimination. Fortunately, the police intervened. 30 injured, 6 of them seriously. The worst was avoided. Who are these neo-Nazi militants? Bobrov, with his name that smells of sulfur, is the former leader of Schultz 88, a group of sinister memory. In the early 2000s, they were wreaking havoc in St. Petersburg. Fighting, beating, and gratuitous aggression. Their ultra-violence went as far as the irreparable. There was at least one racist murder a month. Yevgeny remembers. The owner of the Fontanka website investigated these neo-Nazi movements. At the top of the list was Schultz 88, Bobrov's movement.
This is what they publish. It's an illegal newspaper, but a newspaper nonetheless. And here you have a second, a real work of art, signed Schultz 88. The author is from St. Petersburg. It's Bobrov. This is what he was publishing before he was arrested. You'll find anything and everything. I've had their political program in my hands. I can tell you that the blood spilt during the October Revolution or the French Revolution is nothing in comparison. They're real public menaces, monsters, capable of gouging out eyes, murdering one of their own, drinking blood. And this time, it's a body discovered by the police, that of one of their fighters. They had decreed that he was a traitor, and any traitor must be executed.
Putin's power would break these public menaces' backs. Murderers get life sentences. Groups are disbanded. Leaders are arrested, like Barov, who will serve 3 years in prison. Today he's free, he doesn't deny anything, and he agrees to meet me. You're the founder of the Schultz 88 Inches group. Where does your group stand today?
It's been a long time since the court banned our organization. The majority of our members have been convicted, and most are still serving their sentences today, including some who received life sentences. So our organization no longer exists. But many of our former members continue to fight with totally different methods.
What do you think of the younger generation? Do they share your ideas?
More and more people are supporting us. If you attended the Russian march, you must have noticed that most of the participants were young people. And we are supported by people from all walks of life. We have the people and public opinion for us. Actually, public discourse in recent years has become completely nationalistic. We could never have imagined it back then. Today, those who take part in our events are just a tiny fraction of our supporters.
что в прошлом было, в общем-то, непредставимо.
A curious paradox. Bobrov and his neo-Nazis would have lost the battle of the streets. But they won over public opinion. I'll find out the next day. I'm strolling the market. Apraksinvor market. Faces are wary. Azeris, Georgians, Armenians. Here, everyone speaks Russian, but with an accent. These include Furtas, Furuz, and Forcade. Three immigrants, three brothers. They were born 4,500 kilometers from here, in Tajikistan. They take me to the park where Furtas thought he was going to die.
It was here. The path was very narrow, with snow on both sides. I was walking alone when they came to meet me. There were four of them. They tapped me on the shoulder, then started insulting me. Then one of the guys pulled a knife out of his pocket and tried to throw himself at me. By the time my brothers arrived, I was already on the floor here. I'd been stabbed 8 times. Then my brothers fought the Russians and they finally ran away.
Then we took him to the dispensary over there.
And why did they attack you?
Because I'm not Russian. I'm an immigrant, can't you tell? They were nationalists, and that's why they attacked me. They shouted at me that Russia wasn't for us, but for the Russians. That they were going to cleanse it of guys like me. That's what they said. They called me a black ass.
It was a very violent attack.
Yes, very violent.
Can you believe it? They were really stabbing me. Not punches, no. Knife wounds. And several in a row. I've got scars. They just wanted to kill me. In fact, they admitted as much during the trial. They said, yes, we wanted him dead.
Can you show me one of your wounds?
Yes, of course, I can show them to you. I still have one here, and several in the back.
Ah, yes. And 8 stab wounds like that. Who are Ferdaz's attackers? Neo-Nazis or kids with no history?
They meet here every Saturday, very early in the morning. There's a gym there.
Yes, it's their gym. They go there every Saturday to train. It's over there, somewhere behind those buildings.
This is the gym, the Red Devil Club. A lot of young people and a coach who is as muscular as he is wary. They refuse to let us in. This man is Roman Zentsov, champion of a sport that is illegal in Europe, free fighting. 1 meter 85 for 104 kilogram. For boxing, he'd be a good size. But Zentsov doesn't do boxing. Free fight. All blows are allowed. Fists, feet, or knees. The referee lets the blood flow. A tournament is scheduled for the day after tomorrow. I'm off to the northern districts. Recent buildings and impeccable lawns. Apartments here are expensive. Free fight appeals to the middle classes. Outside the gymnasium are around 15 police officers. Inside, 100 or so fighters. They're warming up, just like any other athletes. Because yes, it's definitely a sport. It's even good for your health. Right, Michael?
We're one of the people fighting for a healthy lifestyle. Against drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes. In short, for the triumph of sport.
A healthy mind in a healthy body. Well, there is that tattoo, 88. An old code. 8 stands for the 8th letter of the alphabet, the H. 8 to 8 equals HH, i.e., Heil Hitler.
You're asking me if the 2 8s mean Heil Hitler? No, that's not it. It's the 88 commandments, in fact. Nature's commandments.
It's not nice to lie like that.
There's no point in clumping together for presentations. You line up, I'll go first, and you follow. With young people like that, the country's future is assured. Each and every one of us is ready to fight to defend our country, our loved ones, and our family in difficult times. Here, we don't raise athletes, we raise warriors.
Here, it's not about participating, it's about winning. The tattoos set the tone. Free fighters fight for weird flags and slogans. This one, to know, to fight, to possess. That one, long live the reign of the white race. If free fight is a sport, then it's a fascist sport.
We have several veterans among us, members of our country's most successful and prestigious forces, the Spetsnaz, and we applaud them.
Even better, a commando officer supervises the competition.
A huge thank you to all of you, because it's a real joy for the soul and the eyes to see all these men capable of defending their country, defending their family, defending themselves and their fellow man. Thank you.
A surreal scene. The veteran hands out medals to the youngster. Indoctrination begins at an early age. Hostilities begin. Victories are by surrender or co. Michael gets ready. And off we go for 3 minutes of fighting. Michael wins with this choke. Applause.
I'm super happy. I won and I'm very happy. It is always a challenge with every combat. The difference with the Thelties is that we're always ready. I didn't have breakfast before coming here. I will always be ready for a combat. You ask, and I say yes.
Now I understand what Bogrov meant. You don't have to be a neo-Nazi to have extreme ideas. Russian society, as a whole, has become radicalized. And Yevgeny, the journalist, is afraid of what might be next.
The general mood in Russia is as follows. We've had enough of all these immigrants. Let's kick them out. And if the state can't do it, someone has to take over. When things get to the point of murder, people back off. Killing is bad. Giving a beating, why not? But killing is wrong. But with extremists, it's different. With them, the fear is that they'll go further and start making bombs.
Я думаю, что будет качественный скачок, что они будут взрывать.
Let's hope Yevgeny is wrong. Dobrevich, it's Karine. Time to go. Before going back to Paris, I'm going to say goodbye to Natasha, this morning woman who has touched me so deeply. She's waiting for me at home, with her lawyer. And what she has to say to me is incredible. Have you been heard by the police, Natalia?
I haven't. The investigation is ongoing and I have no idea what's in the file. They hide everything from me. Really, I don't understand.
In other words, she is denied what our Constitution grants us. As a civil party, she has the right to know what measures have been taken against the accused. They refuse to give us a clear answer on the subject.
And as a lawyer, weren't you afraid to take on a case like this?
Yes, of course. I'll think about my answer because it could cost me my career as a lawyer. There's no guarantee that I'll be protected in the event of any inconvenience or similar. It could start with phone tapping, and if that's not enough, it could go on with ever more stringent measures.
Are you hopeful that justice will be done?
Yes, of course.
Of course, we want to believe that at least once in Russia, justice will be done. But I doubt it.
Will Natasha bring her husband's murderers to justice? In any case, she won't give up. The simple struggle of one victim, alongside the struggles of others, so that one day, at last, Russia may become a state governed by the rule of law. So that one day, Russia won't have quite the same news stories.